conversations, remembers a child and growing up. It seemed like the conversations I always heard around the family, the common, I'm not sure how to put this, maybe the small talk, always seemed to be around the topic of the weather. And I always kind of made the running joke that you would never speak to my grandfather unless he talked about the weather. Guaranteed it was going to come up. But something I noticed in the conversations of today, I see this in general society, I see this at work, I hear this when I'm out eating at a restaurant, but the topic that seems to come up in common, I want to say small talk, is a topic of not the weather, but the topic of busyness. I am busy. And you're going to hear, or I guess I hear, different ways this is said. I have too much to do, or I don't have enough time, or I am so busy. And I'm right there with them. I myself have done that. I catch myself doing that. And, you know, I guess I was thinking about there could be a lot of reasons for us to have calls for our busy life. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is God expects us to find time to worship Him. And that's the question that I guess I pose myself with is, how has that affected my life? And we're going to look at a simple passage tonight. So if you look over to the book of Luke, chapter 10. And again, this is a central passage for tonight's lesson. But it's the story of two sisters, Mary and Martha. I'm going to read these passages real quick for us. Again, Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." As I think about this passage, there's several things that's in this text that kind of jumps out at me. One is the intent of the one sister to not just be sitting in the room and listening, but to be at the Lord's feet. She's very intent on what she has to say. And I don't know what the situation was. I don't know if this was an unplanned event. So it was a case where Martha just was not prepared. But obviously, the story of this is simplistic in the standpoint of what the focus of the two sisters are, what's important to the time. But the thing that, and I don't know what the reflection of the tone was, but when the Lord answered her, he said, "Martha, Martha." And when I hear people say a name twice, there's this, I don't know, Dave, if I'm saying this right, but there's this reflection of a person's tone. It's like, are you really listening to me? Are you really hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying this because it's really important to you. And I see this in this passage. But like these two sisters, I find that our families are busy. And sometimes in these activities, we lose sight of what really matters, just like happened here in these passages. I think about things like the family relationships and the strengthening of ourselves and our faith through study. I do not normally make a practice to read articles, but I found two articles on the internet that I thought would help convey the message of the topic that I'm going to talk about tonight. And I'm going to share the first one of two now. And I hope that you'll understand after I'm completely reading why I thought it was appropriate. The first one, it kind of reads like a poem. So if you hear the reflection in my voice, that's the reason why. But it's titled, "Many of Us Are Just Too Busy." Too busy to be a Christian. Too busy at work to share our lives with a coworker. Too busy on the weekends to spend some time with our neighbor.
too busy paying off debt and spending even more money during the holidays, too busy with others to lead our families well, too busy working hard to have a loving relationship with Him, just simply too busy for Christ. He told us that it would be this way. He told us that it was a narrow road to walk, that it would be uncomfortable, inconvenient, sacrificial, and if you were honest, would you say you are too busy? Here's the thing. We seem to acknowledge, Chad's opinion, we seem to acknowledge that we are busy, just like we talk about the weather. The question is, are we going to do something about it? And that's a lot easier said than done. Now, one of the things that crosses my mind, for those of you sitting here that are listening to it, you may think, come on, Chad, this isn't that serious of a thing. Look at our culture. This is the way in the life that we live in now. Everybody lives at a very fast pace. It's just the way it is. And it's going to get worse. And as I think about that, Ian walked up to me and he said, "Hey, Dad, what are you going to be talking about?" And I told him. And his comment to me was, "Yeah," he said, "that's the lesson for you. You're always busy." And I thought, wow, how do I respond to that? My children recognize this. Our spouses recognize this. Our friends recognize this. They see what's going on. And the question is, how do we look at this? You know, one way I could have responded, I could have said, "Well, son, you know, you're just too young to understand. You don't understand the responsibilities I have for you and your mother and to take care of the house and the things that I have to do." If this was a friend at work, maybe we were talking, I would probably say, "Yeah, you know, you're right. Lately, boy, it really has been busy. You know, there's been quite a lot of projects on the plate. It seems like we're always fighting fires. There's always this customer issue and that customer issue, and we have something going on." But you know, it's just temporary. It's going to slow down. I caught myself saying that. You probably have too. But the reality of saying that, you know, on second thought, as I looked around, I looked at it from a different viewpoint. I look at those that are senior to me, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. I don't see things slowing down. I don't see lifestyles slowing down. So I have to assume that for me to take the position that this is just a busy time, you know, we have small children and things aren't going to slow down, I don't think that's the reality. A third way that I can look at it, and I have looked at it in the past this way, the reasons on my list, was, well, being busy is equal to being important. The more my boss wants me at work, the more things I have going on, the more things that I have taking place is a measure of my worth. And at some point in time, for you, like myself, I believe that we reach a time where we see that who we are, not necessarily what we do, is the value. And I see this in my children, because they don't care whether I drive a $5,000 car or a $50,000 car. And they don't, it doesn't matter whether we eat a Red Lobster or whether we eat a Burger King. I'm still the same dad. The values that we are is who I am, who I am as a husband, and who I am as a father, who I am as a Christian. So the question that I think about is, well, how does this thinking affect me? And the reality is, it doesn't just affect me, it affects those around me. It's very easy to become too busy to nurture the relationships that we see, that are talked about, that we as Christians should be exhibiting, whether it's as leaders and stewards in our home, leaders and stewards in our Christian walk, it can have a definite effect on us. I could say, well, you know, if I was talking to somebody at work, they go, hey, this is simple. This is just a matter of you need to get better at scheduling and you need to get more efficient. You don't have the right app on your iPhone. That must be what it is. What I'm getting ready to say, some of you may disagree with, but for myself, the conclusion that I have to come to is that the bottom line is I am overcommitting. And what I mean by that is that I have a hard time saying no. Too many activities, too many concerns that have allowed my lifestyle to become overcrowded. That's the simplest way that I know to say it. What does this look like? We're talking about things like materialism. I'm talking about things like the time that's related to financial activity. Think I'm kidding? Ask Amy how many times a month I ask her about the budget. The yard chores? Ask my kids how many times I ask about, talk about the expectations of how the yard should look. And keeping up appearances. And what's left with time? Well, that's the fun stuff. We have to make time for fun because, hey, that's what we work hard for. We deserve this. The question it leads to is, what would we give up in our time? What would I say no to? What will I do? Or will I simply stay busy? When I think back to the passage that we read from Luke, I kind of summed it up like this. I said, do I want to grow in faith the way Mary had, the faith to not be anxious? Or am I going to stay like her sister and be focused on what fire I'm fighting right now and not see the bigger picture? The wisdom to see what is most important. We have a warning, and if you'd like to, turn over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. In verse 14, this is a short bit of passage, but I think that as I was studying for this, I was trying to find additional verses that would help support the thought process that was similar to what I've seen in the story of Mary and Martha. This came out. And to the Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say thee, Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. And if you skip down to that very next verse, verse 16, he says, so then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I do not see myself necessarily, nor many of you necessarily, being out in the world, rebelling against those things that we hear our elders try to encourage us about, those things that we study on. But at the same time, the reality is, how busy am I in terms of doing the things that are really beyond lukewarm? There's only so many hours in the day. There's so many places you need to be here in the course of a week. And they all add up very, very quickly. And I can joke about, yeah, I wished I had a 36-hour day, or I wished I had just that extra hour. I get 25 hours in a day. But the hours slip by very, very quickly. And it really is a sobering thought to think, are we living a life of being profoundly complacent? And for me, I find that not an easy thing to do because I do get so busy and so focused on work and so focused on those things that seem to take up so much time in life. And I think Dave used an expression this morning that I fully agree with. I think it is very accurate. And it's to say that we go into spiritual lows. We have things that happen that take place. But sometimes we're up on that high, and man, we're feeling good, and sometimes we're down, and sometimes it's a word of encouragement that comes from somebody that truly makes a difference. It is in those times when we have a really, what I would call a deep sense of need for God, and then we take time for Him. But again, it seems too often, at least for myself, I'm too busy to find time to study, to find time to pray, and to find time to think about the reflect upon the real future of what this very short life gives to us here. Don't get me wrong. We have to make a living. I know that. We have to make a living. We have to go to work. We have to take care of our families and our needs. But if those things become the focus, and I had a friend of mine at work many years ago. He always said, whatever's important to you, that is what you will see enthusiasm in a person. Online. I found a statement online. It was a short statement, but I included it in my notes. It said, don't confuse busyness with growth. And in my notes, I jotted, what about me? Am I growing, or am I just too busy? A second story, and bear with me, this is a long story, and I really went back and forth whether or not to include this because it's very fictional, and I certainly would appreciate it if anybody feels like it was not appropriate, please let me know after services, and I will make sure that you remove this from my notes from the future if I do have a chance to preach this again. But the story is titled, A Meeting Held by the Devil. So picture in your mind, this is fictional, picture the devil, his legions of evil and corrupt angels. Picture them in a large auditorium, and he's getting ready to speak. And in his opening address to his evil angel, Satan says, we can't keep the Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth. We can't even keep them from forming an intimate and abiding relationship experience in Christ. If they gain that connection with Jesus, our power over them is broken. So let them go to their churches. Let them have their conservative lifestyles, but still their time. So they can't gain a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what I want you to do. I want you to distract them from gaining hold of their Savior and maintaining that vital connection throughout their day. How shall we do this, they said. Keep them busy in the non-essentials of life and invent innumerable schemes to occupy their minds. Tempt them to spend, to borrow. Persuade the wives to spend many long hours and their husbands to work 6 and 7 days per week, 10 to 12 hours a day, so they can afford empty lifestyles. Keep them from spending time with their children. As their family fragments, soon their home will offer no escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds so they cannot hear that still, small voice. Entice them to play the radio or the cassette player whenever they drive. Keep their TV, their DVDs, their CDs, and their PCs going constantly in their home. And to see that every store and every restaurant in the world plays music constantly. This will jam their minds and break that union with Christ. Fill the coffee table with magazines and newspapers. Pound their minds with news 24 hours a day. Evade their driving moments with billboards. flood their mailboxes with junk mail and mail order catalogs and sweepstakes and every kind of letter, promotional products, services, and false hope. Keep skinny, beautiful models on the magazine so the husbands will believe that external beauty is what is important, and they'll become dissatisfied with their wives. But this will fragment those families even more quickly. Even in their recreation, let them become excessive. Have them return from their recreation exhausted and unprepared for the coming week. Don't let them go out to nature to reflect on God's wonders. Send them to the amusement parks and the sporting events and the concerts and the movies instead. Keep them busy, busy, busy. And when they meet for spiritual fellowship, involve them in gossip and small talk so that they leave with troubled consciences and unsettled emotions. Go ahead. Let them be involved in soul winning, but crowd their lives with so many causes they have no time to seek power for Christ. Soon they will be working in their own strength, sacrificing their health and family for the good of the cause. It will work. It was quite a convention. The evil angels went eagerly to their assignments, causing Christians everywhere to get more busy and more rushed, going here and going there. I guess the question is, has the devil been successful at his scheme in my life? The busyness of life, it has affected me, and I realize there are changes that I have to have the courage to take personally. And I would say, as I come to a close of this tonight, that I hope that this lesson, this topic, as you reflect on it this week, would be one that's of value to you. And again, I would leave you with a statement I made earlier: where our priorities are, there will be our energy and our enthusiasm. As we normally do, we offer an opportunity for those who may have been Christians, who have altered, who are stumbling, falling down, who need the prayers, who need the help from the church, and maybe those who have not yet become a member of the body of Christ that would like to do so. We offer this. End of this service. Before we stand and sing, I want to share one more verse that I think is appropriate in warning. And I'll read it for us. But Jesus warned his disciples about what we talked about tonight in a parable. It comes from the book, I'm going to read it from Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. At the conclusion of this reading, we'll stand and we'll sing Song of Invitation. Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, or the worries of this life, the anxieties of this age, depending on which version you look at, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for those other things entering in the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It's time to have a song of invitation.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. for Jesus your King. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power.